Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for your loving kindness, tender mercies that ever knew every day. As we come to your presence, talk to us individually and together. Above all, help us to see ourselves in your word and help us to grasp what belongs to us. And Father, at the end of this, all of us who have been here, both on ground and online, we'll go back and thank you for what has happened as fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. We pray for our country, we pray for our state, we pray for our city, that we'll live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome. Everybody sit down. Good evening. Nice to have you in the house. How's been your day? Fine, fine. Somebody said so-so. Thank God for so-so. All right. Get your Bible. Let's talk about Matthew 17, verse 20. That's where we are. We're discussing our topic is in there, Matthew 17, verse 20, NKJV. Can you get it for us on the screen? Please, let's be fast today in opening. If you're not hearing clearly, please let me know so I can put a speaker there. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Our topic is the last word here. Nothing will be impossible for you. When I read this verse, every time I read it, it challenges me to step up, to go for something more than where I am. I don't know about you. I have some things that I've not yet accomplished and possible for me yet. Anybody like me here? There are some things that look big before me, like mountain and stuff. And Jesus said, if I have faith as a mustard seed, I'll say to this mountain, move from here to there. And if you look at verse 19, they ask Jesus a question. Can we read it? Verse 19. The verse before this verse. And disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Whatever was troubling them, they couldn't achieve their desire because something happened. And Jesus gave the because, the reason why they could not cast it out. In verse 20, because of your unbelief. That word unbelief is actually confusing. It's the word of because of your lack of faith. Because you are not demonstrating faith. For assuredly I say to you. So he's telling them that this really works. This is not just by chance. Some things work by chance, you know. For instance, if your wristwatch or your clock in the house is off work, I can tell you it will be right twice a day. If it's at 3 o'clock, it'll be right by 3 p.m. and 3 a.m. It doesn't mean it's right. It's just by chance. It just falls there. So some things work like that. You see, people think that faith is just by chance. It's a problem you have to really face, you know. It doesn't always work. It just can just happen by chance. And that has been my quest over the years. So, but this moment, I'm going to stop my teaching on faith. Remember, we're going to come back to our teaching on faith. That's our topic. But every Tuesday, I'm doing what I call A to Z on practical living. So before we teach about impossible, we are looking at assume ability, B, blessing, creativity, D, discernment. I want to do something more on letter D. You see, there are so many what they call foliages, or like we use in computer, folders. Are you hearing me? It's just that wish you could take so many of these and work at it. I want to add something to that letter D, and I'd like you to put slash. Are you hearing me? Let's take our Bible. Let's go to Psalm 42. This will benefit some people here tonight. So letter D will take discernment slash, something I want us to learn about that will help you. And that is important. Psalm 42. Let's go to verse 1. Psalm 42. As the deer pant for the water brooks, so pant my soul for you, O God. Next verse. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Can you look up, everybody? How do I say this to you? A lot of time in our life, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you wonder, what are you really looking for? What do you really want? You just got a promotion. You don't feel satisfied. You just got some blessing, but you just don't feel satisfied. The reason why is simple. You need more than that for your life. See, David said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Sometimes everything's working in my life, but I still just feel a little bit funny. Is there anything else more? What more? But if you're not careful, you think, maybe I need to get a better house. I need to get a better car. I need to get a better... I need to move out, you know. I need to go somewhere else. I need to have holiday, you know. You think it's all that, but it's more than that. It's actually your soul testing for God. Let's keep reading. Next verse. My tears have been my food day and night. Why they continually say to me, where is your God? Next verse, quickly. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now verse 5. This is where I'm going. Next verse. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Say that with me. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for as I yet praise him. Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, my soul is thirsty for God. Are we here, everybody? Am I right? Now, second, it says here, my soul feels cast down. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Then third, it says, why are you disquieted within me? Now, can you take that word? Disquieted. Let's take discernment / disquieted or disquietedness. See that word, disquieted. Everybody, are you here? You know why I'm bringing this word up? It will help your discerning life well. The word disquieted is from two words, dis and quiet. Am I right? Am I right? Now, that simply means that it is opposite quietness. So David was saying, my soul, why are you cast down? This is very interesting. You know, I love this. David was doing something which he must learn to do. David put his soul on the table and was interrogating his soul. If many of us do that in our lives, we'll fare off better sometimes. You don't interrogate yourself. You don't ask yourself questions. See, this is what David asking his soul. One of the best ways to get healed, particularly all this health, mental health problem today, all these emotional upheavals in our life. If you learn to just put yourself on the table or behind the chair and ask, Pastor, I'm here now. How can I put myself? He said, my soul. Praise God. Keep it on the screen, please. My soul. Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you not quiet? This is a little bit slower today. I want to get into this because if you're going to live practically, if you're going to survive, you must learn how to have a quiet life, a quiet soul. Take your Bible. Let's go. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Take a look. It's talking about women there, but it applies to all of us. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Can you give us on the screen? 1 Peter. Look at the verse. Rather, let it be the hidden person of where? Of the heart. Talking about he's talking about women that spend their time on the outward, dressing up, you know, see that you look great. And all women should do that. But the emphasis, should be further than that. He says, let's go to verse 3. Can you give us verse 3 before this verse 4? Don't let your adornment, your dressing up, be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Sometimes that also applies to men today. Hello? Some men spend more time dressing than anything else. Hallelujah. Now, he said, don't let your... You see, why do we dress up? So we can look good. Am I right? So we can look presentable. But there is more to your life than just physical appearance and presentability. You must learn also to present yourself before life and before God. Are you hearing me? I don't only present myself dressing up with clothes so I look to you presentable. I must also learn to be presentable to life, to circumstances, to situations. So Peter was saying, don't let your adornment be only outward, next verse, but rather, verse 4. Give us verse 4. Thank you. Rather, let it also be the dressing up of the person of the heart. Now, mention beauty there. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You see, and some Christians have problems. I don't know how you have been raised. Some Christians have been raised, particularly anti-women looking good. They said they should not use some things. They should not dress up something. You don't dress up. They said you should be natural. I wish that they do that when they wake up in the morning without brushing their mouth. It's natural. Huh? They should not put that. They should not do that. They should not do that. And it's only about women. So at the end of the day, how many women will enter heaven? You know? But they are missing it. They should be talking more about the heart than the physical appearance. Hallelujah. I don't have time for that today, but let's quickly go. Listen, with the incorruptible beauty of what? A gentle and quiet spirit. Just like women take powder and do their face and take some perfume and smell good, in the same way, God wants you to take quietness and gentleness to beautify your life. Oh, get that what I just said? And he said, which is very precious in the sight of God. This kind of gentleness and quiet spirit is a precious thing. The quiet inside. You see, a lot of us, in my younger days, I look at people and I wonder what God is doing. Why is he not doing something for their life? And God will tell me, you don't know them on the inside. You don't know what's going on the inside. It's so easy to look outside and look at people. They are well dressed and they talk fine and they shake hands and cool. And when you say, how are you doing? Everybody say, fine, thank you. Now, in recent time, when I was growing up, we say, fine, thank you. Now they will say, I'm good. No, I'm not. Only God is good. I'm just joking. So, you know, you have to have that quietness to do well in life. Let's go further. Quiet. Remember the prayer we pray about 1 Timothy 2? Let's go back there. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. A gentle and quiet spirit. So he said, why are you disquieted within me? Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayer, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at next verse. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead what? So take a look at this. Take a look at this. He said, we are praying for the country, we are praying for our rulers so that we may lead what? A quiet life. Not a noisy life. Let's go further. Let's go to chapter 4, Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Give us an NIV. This is interesting. Take a look. Can you look up, everybody? Make it your ambition to lead what? A quiet life. To mind your own business and to work with your hand, as we told you. So, I told you, somebody told me something that really blessed me recently. I was watching a man teaching, and he said, Jesus, at the age of 23, what was he doing? Nobody knew. 25, nobody knew. 28, nobody knew. We knew he was a carpenter, was staying with his parent. He just came out of nowhere by the age of 30, got to Jordan River, boom, and 3 years later, was out. But anybody who knew anything about the Bible, Jesus was also moving around, doing things, but it was more than that. For those 30 years, he led a quiet life. How many of you agree with me on that? For those 30 years, his life was quiet. I believe that the depth of that quietness gave Jesus such an outstanding wisdom and ability that whatever came his way, he was able to stand and withstand it. So, being quiet, being able to take hold of yourself, look at that verse again. Make it your ambition. What's your ambition in life? Can you imagine what say? What's your ambition? To be quiet. To mind your own business, work with that. And when you are that quiet, what will happen to you? Look at next verse. Then look at this. I love this. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So quietness is the key to having dignity and respect. And second, quietness is the key to personal self-sufficiency. Wow. What I just said? Quietness is the key to respect. And quietness is the key to what? To personal self-sufficiency. If you don't get quiet, you won't know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, your life will be not always sufficient. I believe that if every one of us will get quiet with our life and maintain quietness, whatever is doing us, we can undo it. Whatever issue that we can just get quiet. Oh, Isaiah 30, verse 15. Take a look. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Can you find it for us? Isaiah 30. I hope I'm correct. Isaiah 30, verse 15. All right. Take a look. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Let's read together the next part. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now somebody said, Pastor, are you saying I'll just go around like this? Can I warn you? Those who look introverted are loud inside. You know, you get disquieted. In quietness and in confidence, I'll be your strength. You must learn to. You know, you can be introvert. Tell you are introvert, but you are loud. Your thoughts are so loud. Let me talk about being disquieted. What will set you off balance? That's the best word. To be disquieted means that you are set off balance. How many of you have been there when things happen to you? You just can't find your feet. Something happened in the office. Just before I came for service now, something happened that I had to get my feet back, put myself to normal, not let that overtake me. Are you hearing me? My wife was saying, take it cool there. I must not let things spoil my day. See, the moment I get disquieted inside, you know what I'm talking about now. Anybody know? You know what I'm talking about? You start like that. What usually gets us disquieted? Let's go back to Psalm 42. Charles, let's try. Psalm 42, verse 5. I want you to see something that is important. I'm talking about A to Z on practical living. And I'm adding to letter D, what I call disquietedness, being disquiet. Now, please, can you look up everybody to this verse? He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Okay, so there are two parts to this verse. That's first of all, being thrown on the floor, cast down. If you are not cast down, the disquietedness won't follow. Hello? Are you hearing me? So you must not allow things to cast you down. Because when you are cast down, you begin to all get disquieted. You know, things can happen around you. But it is until it throws you on the floor that makes you disquieted. Now, let me tell you three things that cast you down, that disquiet you more. Write these three things down. Number one, fear. What upsets you more than anything else? There are three of them. Fear. Number two, anger. Number three, discouragement. Those three are the major capital enemies that disquiet you. Fear. Something happens, you're afraid, you start losing your cool, you start wondering what's going to happen to you and what things will. Or second, you are upset. Use the word upset for anger. You're just angry. And then third, discouragement. Sounds like disquietedness. Courage, discouraged, disquieted. So when I'm discouraged, and you know what? Discouraged, because discouraged is that I surrender my courage to face life. Once in a while, that happens to me, and last time it happened to me, it didn't leave me in a good state. You know, I've learned to take that, and I started warning myself, you can't afford that anymore. You see, moment you start getting discouraged, you start getting disquieted. Let me give you an example. You've been praying, you've been trying to live your life, it's not been easy taking all your life together. You pray and soon you're gone. If you're not careful, you may not recover in the next couple of 3 or 4 weeks. Same thing can happen to your life, to your business, to your health. Yes, surrender. Come on, lose weight. You don't know what about? Happens to you. Hitting your diary. See, it casts you down. Bam. I used to have a master degree in walking away. Swimming job, walking away. Thank God I've recovered now. If I was in that state, I'm a pastor. Just say, one day you won't find me anymore. You just come to church, you won't find me. I just pastor Christelle with the before. You know, like one pastor in Lagos was tired. He sold the church, sold the members, sold the instrument. They just came and found a new owner. Interesting. You know, sometimes it's not what does us, it's what that makes us, you know. Oh boy. Why are you disquieted? So you're gonna have to first of all get yourself quieted. Get yourself quieted about life. You'll be able to do things. Sometimes you go somewhere, you plan, the prices are skyrocketed, you know, or something happened, you just can't get it, it just washes off. You know, you just have to withdraw a little bit and balance yourself. Disquietedness. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Let me give you some tips of how I get back when I get that discouraged like that and disquieted and I'm off balance. One of the best ways is to just stop whatever you are doing mentally. 1 or 2 or 4 minutes. Just remember God. What do I say? Just remember God. Just remember God. You're not alone. Look at verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Praise God, somebody. Do you hear that? Oh my God. You see, David was telling his soul before. Why are you cast down my soul? Oh my soul. Then he said, oh God, my soul is cast down within you. I'm really done. Therefore, what will I do? I will remember you. Can you just close your eyes and say, Father, I remember you tonight. Thank you that you are my God. You are my Father. You are still there for me. You are my strength. You are my shield in the land of the living. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what's happening, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, you are my God. I remember you right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Why are you disquieted within me? So, disquietedness must be tackled. In fact, these days we are living in, it can be really, really pertinent upon our soul. And it's your soul area. Another area I find that I did with this, remember God. Second thing I do is that when I get that, when it's getting too intense for me that I'm disquieted and I just start praying in tongues. I have this habit. Usually when I get that disquieted, before I sleep, it will come on me. I don't know when your own comes on you. You know, but usually when I'm rounding up the day, that is just like coming back on me. My mind is working. So you know what I just do? I just start praying in tongues. Just start praying in tongues. I just pray in tongues, 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 pray in tongues. I sleep off and pray in tongues. I wake up in the middle of the night, I pray in tongues, 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 pray in tongues. I'm trying to get my spirit to lay hold of my soul and pull it back out of that deep pit. I can't do it by myself. My will is weak. So only my, remember Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So watch and pray that you may not fall into that temptation. Let's go and read that verse and round up on that. Matthew 26. So disquiet, learning to quiet yourself. Learning to calm down yourself inside. Hallelujah. And see, I just had this word in my spirit right now. Simply, disquietness is misinterpretation of life. What do I say? So, if you are going to stop misinterpreting, you have to reinterpret it. You have to reinterpret it. You have to reinterpret it. Are you hearing me? You have to reinterpret. Oh, no, I'm tired. I don't know what's going to go on. I'm just angry. I'm just afraid, you know. Yeah. You see, all those are what I call life misinterpretations. But you have to reinterpret it for you to go on. Matthew 26. And as you get older, you won't only be casting, you'll only be cast down by your stuff, people's stuff, family members' stuff. Are you hearing me? Friends' stuff, colleagues' stuff. And the more authority you have in, your area of influence will make you to be a little bit cast down. Maybe your children, your staff, your business, your mama, your uncle, your auntie. 26, are we there? Look at this verse. Verse 37. 26, 37. Jesus was in that kind of thing too. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply disquieted. Deeply distressed. See that word distress, stress, deeper part of it. That's Jesus himself. You know, he's been managing his life and balancing his life to this moment. But he got to this moment where he had said he's coming, this is the hour. And he got to the hour and he was torn apart. His soul was, in fact, he used the word soul. I don't want to be running around showing you verses, but let's put our hands there. Let's go to John 12. I want to show you something. John 12. Okay, it's even there too. Yeah, it's there. But I want to show them John 12 first. We'll come back to that. Yeah. Praise God. Now, look at John 12, verse 27. We'll come back to this place. Don't forget that place. Now, my soul is troubled. Son of God, perfect Savior. Powerful Lord. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. See, it's reinterpretation. It's doing reinterpreting. That's what you have to do. You have to reinterpret things. You have to use what you've got to sort out what is before you. Praise God. Just like women go to the kitchen, they use this to cook a meal. I know what this can be in the days we are living in now. Let's go back to 26 Matthew 37, right? 26 Matthew. Okay. Are we there? The sorrowful and deeply distressed. Next verse. And he said to them, My soul is exceedingly even to death. That means I just want to quit. So Jesus, first of all, he was aware of it. Some people they don't get aware of that. You know, I don't know if you remember when you were very small, boys remember this. You are playing football outside, you play football, and then when you kick the ball, your toenail just fly out with the ball. Anybody been there? You didn't play football. Football has been a problem for boys all these years. And then you know what you do? Blood is spotting, you take sand, boom. Because you must finish this match. And then you finish it, there's no pain, because when you finish like that, put the sand over there, then you have gotten the cup, which is nothing except shouting among yourself. You know, so you start leaning like that and going home. You know, mom can pinch it. Mom say, no, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Then she will grab your leg. Oh my. And then start washing that sand off it. Ah, it could be painful. That's what many of us do. We just cover up things. I learned quite earlier that I must not cover up things. I must just deal with it personally, not tell everybody in town. Jesus, something he did. If you look at the verse before this verse, what did he say in that verse? And he took with him Peter, two sons of Zebedee. He didn't take all the whole crowd of 12 of them. He took only 3, quite close to him. And he was so much loving and slept off. Let's keep reading. Next verse. I don't know. I wish to leave this place. Stay here and watch. Stay here and watch with me. Next verse, quickly. He went to a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup." See, Jesus was start praying this thing out and pushing it. He was speaking out his soul to God. Let's keep reading. Next verse. I want to just jump. Then he came to the disciples, found them sleeping. Said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray." Can you give us a Message Bible? I round up. I want to stop this. So I can go to my subject today. Give us this verse in Message Bible. Is it possible? Can you look up everybody? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you are in danger. There is a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God as your spirit. There's another part that is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. That's that part of you. Remember, bright and bad side. So that part of you is the one that is cast down, that's disquieted. And somebody say, "Pastor, can I just go on like that?" You can't go on, because the two must go together. The bright side and the part of you, you have to take it along with you, or else you just cause trouble all the way for you. Are we blessed? Is that clear? Practical living. You'll be disquieted. You'll face things. You must learn to put your soul on the table, talk to it, and then if it's not listening, remember God, and then watch, pray. Pray till that, move that thing off. Somebody said, "You don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith." But feeling can be a serious deterrent to your faith. So you have to just, first of all, push it. Either push it out of the way or remove it out of the way entirely. It's good to not let your feeling direct you, but if you are feeling bad, you are feeling bad. Am I correct? If you are feeling down, you are feeling down. So you have to push it out of the way by doing that. Are we blessed today? Is that clear? Okay, let's take one or two questions on that. Anybody want to ask any question about that? Nobody? Going? Clear? Let me ask this question. Pastor, what about if I pray? It's still there. I still feel disquieted. Go and eat. Taken up. You know, Elijah was disquieted. He started running. He said, "I'm the only one left." He said, "Look, Imeloku encore. Imeloku. Not Imeloku. 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 So he started running, 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 running. Yeah, you got a question? Yeah, all right, yeah. Let's get a microphone. Can you get that microphone? Yeah, so just eat. Sleep. Angel came and gave him food. So he quieted down. Okay. Can we? All right. Can you move nearer here? Microphone. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want you to enlighten us more about, you know, this issue that you were running up on about the feelings, faith. Looking around us, a lot of people talk about mental health.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, as for us as believers, and I find even pastors or ministers of God who literally have dumped Bible, thinking that it's psychology, you know, that you need apart from the word of God. And they want you to come for counseling, you know, talk to you. And how do we put the two together if for us as believers? Am I okay. Clear?
Fine, thank you. Thank you, dear. I'll give an example. There was this woman who asked her not to marry the husband. Because they said the husband, he was the son of a millionaire, but he was selfish. You know, they would suffer. So the parents trying to get her to not to marry the person, but she finally married the person. And then the guy just abandoned her. She got kids. Some of them, one of them born premature. And she didn't want to go and see her parents. Sometimes you get hungry, she will get tired. In fact, she gave birth to a premature child because of hunger. Her children around her, sometimes when they smell food, they pass out because they have not eaten for days. Finally, she swallowed her pride and she got to meet her parents with her kids. But her mind snapped. You know, a lot of time when I did medicine, so I'm a psychiatry. A lot of time, people just snap. There is a reason why. You know, it's not just like if you don't eat regularly, your stomach will start grumbling. After a while, you start coming out with some ulcer. Am I right, sir? And you start having problem. Just the same way, your brain can't take some things. After a while, you just start blank out and start doing things that you not be doing. So people can be sick in their stomach and sick in their head too at the same time. It's not that they are going to hell, it's just sick in their stomach and sick in their head. So she start blanking out like that. Sometimes because this thing was too much on her, she would go to the kitchen and she would take a knife about to kill herself. She didn't know. And they would put one of her children to be watching her in the kitchen all the time. Like she just cooking. So that one would be watching and kind of a thing. But when she's a Christian, child of God. But she just, that man just like that. So, and the person that was taking care of her now told her this. And she started getting freer. He said, when you sense that thing coming on you, you have to do something. You see, they give you all those drugs to calm you down. That's right. But now, it's what you do with yourself within that tells what happened. Sometimes, if you're too weak, you can't do that. So, we have to calm you down with drugs. But that moment, he said, tell yourself, I have God. I'm not alone. Stand against it. Be strong in the Lord. That was a doctor telling her. Huh? Not a pastor. And then she told her to do that and started doing that and started getting freer. Started getting freer. Started getting freer. You know, sometimes the reason why people say sometimes spiritual things won't do, because sometimes, I mean, if you know Ben Carson, you know, Ben Carson, his mother went almost like that too. Why? His father is a reverend. Or was a reverend? Who married his mom, a reverend, and he has another wife somewhere else. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. He's a reverend, go to church, preach. And then he married somebody else somewhere else, and he's living that double life. He just disappear, go away from home, and he was here for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, or 2 months, he come back again, and hello girl, praise the Lord is good. Now, that is too much for the mind to comprehend. He just went nah. I mean, she just so Ben Carson's mother, because of that challenge, she can't reconcile it together. She just, I mean, look at you are pulling. If you know, your hand may drop off. Am I right? So she just, but she did something very nice. You know what she would do? She controlled herself long enough. She never went to school much. She trained them to read Ben Carson. She took hold of herself to read. And then get her children to read. And when the thing get too much on her, as she can't control herself, she will take her children to her friend's house and check herself into psychiatric hospital for 3 or 4 weeks so that they can give her drug to calm her down so that they can help her and then she can strengthen herself again and go back there. She was one of the greatest women I ever. That's what Ben Carson was what he was today. So learning to take hold of yourself. He said, oh my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Now, one of the best ways, but Stabalochi will like this one. One of the best ways, one of the best drugs for psychiatric problem is worship, music. You see, remember Saul? Saul would just go berserk. So they said, let's get somebody. Even then, they knew better that if you just get somebody to just put, harmony of the soul, just playing music. And when the music is anointed, but Saul once in a while just go berserk, trying to kill Saul. David just ran out. What about you? Move your hip. So it happens like that. Am I making some sense? So that's what usually happens. And usually those who are teaching, please listen to this, those who are teaching about faith and not following feeling, they can be too heartless sometimes and too impractical. They say, don't forget about your feeling. I can't forget it. It's doing me. Are you? I'm feeling depressed. No, you are not depressed. Just say you are not depressed. Like that boy I told you. Daddy, I failed. Daddy said, no, say something positive. Say positively, Daddy, I failed. One woman told her husband, I'm sick. He said, don't say that. He said, I should say what? Say you're sick. I'm not sick. He said, I told you. But then, what do you do with it? And we see Jesus wrestling with it over here. Jesus didn't just say, I don't have any depression. I don't have any distress. So he took hold of it. And let me warn you. You have to do this. Because it's tougher today. We are lacking two things now. We're lacking two things. Number one, we're lacking community. Huh? And second, everybody will take something from us. So we got these two major enemies around us. Number one, we don't have community. You see, community will help you. Sometimes when something happens to you, you got uncle, auntie, they're all around you. You know, just around you. Let me give an example. For instance, people that have children and start having what they call psychiatric problem. We call puerperal psychosis. If I remember, sir. Thank you, sir. Yeah, you know, they just had a baby and that they call it positive feedback. That kind of going through pregnancy and all that stuff can just make you just your mind just you just look at the baby and think, what's this one for? I don't care about this. You start losing sense of reality. But it's not as common as when you have community around you that surround you and you see reality. But when you are your own flat alone with your baby and you're looking at the baby and you're looking at yourself and thinking, because your body will just come crashing down. So community is, secondly, people want to use you like that Ben Carson's father and they just want to take chance of you. So it breaks your mind. I heard of a lady born again. She was going out with somebody. The person left her. She just went to go and start drinking. Now you may say, how can she do that kind of thing? She's a Christian. Nah. You're right. But she just broke apart. So tomorrow you have to be there and nurture the person back to normal. So all of us, we should have... Jesus himself had 3 people that he could talk to that you can just say, hey, man, this is bugging me. Hallelujah. Huh? You just can't just be by yourself alone. It's dangerous. Praise God. All right. So that is that. So, but your feeling is your feeling. And find a ways of handling it and sorting it out. And if it's anger, you learn to calm yourself down. If it's fear, you learn to go back to confidence. I know it's not easy, But I told you what to do. You can remember God, remember his word, take those verses. This is what I do. I don't know the Bible very well. Pastor, you are lying. I know the Bible, but for myself, I don't remember. So what do? I go back there, open it, and check it. Fear not, for I'm with you. Fear not. I repeat to myself like a baby, primary school. Fear not, for I am. Who is with you? The Lord God Almighty. I'm going to lesson, teaching myself. Is that clear? But if I don't do that, and I lie across the bed, feeling sorry for myself, and look at that book, and don't open it, I feel sorry for myself, Next time I want to watch something on the news, I should not be watching. Yeah? You got it? Praise God. Yeah, I think I've answered that question. Thank you very much. We have taken our time beyond our measure today, but I think it's okay. Is that okay? Now, let's deal with hurt and emotional damages. Being hurt and emotional damages. Sometimes people can damage you emotionally. And nothing damages our emotion like words. Words can be very, 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 very hard on our soul. You know, if you have had certain words all your life, let me be honest with you. Some of you that are married to men, some of you, you don't understand that. You say, we don't show emotion. It's because we have been classified when we were growing up. You know, usually, if you notice this, you see a girl child coming. Mommy will say, hey, my girl. Daddy will say, hey, my girl, pick her up. When the boy comes, you know, boy, kind of a thing. You know, lady can just come and start crying. We pet, boys cry. What do you say? The boy. Nijuan. So we've been brought up like that. To be honest with you, I never had my dad saying to me, I love you. Kuti flow in Yoruba, mo fere. Flow in Yoruba. Mo fere. Mo nife. I'm sorry. I'm not. I don't think I had the word fair in our house. You know, somebody's name, maybe, you know, fair, you know, fair. If, okay, if I keep fair in the church, if I keep fair, you know. But I mean, if fair, money fair, move. No, you get up, no, get up. You know, figure out. So, yeah, I grew up. My wife is telling me, you don't love me enough. What should I do? You know, we're not just used to that. So we can be damaged by people who don't mean to damage us. They just don't mean to. For instance, now, if I have a plant over here and I planted it and I don't water it, I am not doing anything that is like I'm not doing something. I'm not doing evil to it, but I'm doing evil by not doing something. Am I making some sense? Not watering it. See, all of us need watering in life. All of us need watering in life. You know, some people, when they talk to us, they seem to dry us up. Even preaching sometimes. I don't know. But they preach as if you would do something. Because you're tired of doing. Am I making some sense over here? You need to plan to relax in the love of God and be blessed by God and be encouraged by Him. And just do something. Am I making some sense? And then also, people will hurt you. I'll give an example. My friend has when he was growing up, his father would tell him, go to the room and bring money from the table. The boy would climb up, find, go to the room, the money is not there. And the father will come and say, you're brainless, blah, 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 blah. And the father will climb up and find the money somewhere else, not where he put it. And he will never apologize to the boy. Are you hearing me? Now somebody said, me too. Now, you know what? You are going to meet people like that all through life. At workplace, at stuff, that you're going to have to help yourself get healed. Are you hearing me? Pastor, is there any place where I will not get into trouble? I know a place called heaven. Are you ready to go? Huh? I'm not going there yet. For instance, I talked to you let me say, my daughter, she's working in a place. And then they ask her to deliver what she could not deliver. And He called me, Daddy, I said, do what you can do. You are not a slave, you are a worker. See, I have to help her as a father to put herself right. I said, do whatever you can. My wife now told me later that the person that gave her the job called her and just... My daughter stopped the phone. She just... Because, you see, sometimes you just can't let those things come on you. Are you hearing me? Coming, for instance, now, if I take hot water now, I start pouring it, I say, I love Reverend. You better start laughing at me. Are you hearing me? Start laughing at me. I mean, split. I mean, yeah, you love, you respect me, but she just stopped the phone. And then the man called back again, and yap, to put the phone on. I can't take all that in. It will affect me too much. You know that next time the man called, he said, I'm sorry for what I just said. Can you imagine that? He said, okay. So I want to plead with you. Don't expose yourself to too much damage. Sometimes you get to either keep quiet, walk away, or something like that. But there's no way you can escape words and stuff like that. So what you need to do is that you must learn to do something that David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Are you hearing me? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's go. 1 Samuel 30. When you are hurt or when you are damaged, what should you do? Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. Now, it happened. This service already seized by this. So let's just follow the Spirit. The service already seized with this. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Now, these Amalekites, they were the baddest of the baddest. They enjoy sneaking on people and destroy them. If you remember, I think Exodus 17, God said, I'm going to have a fight against Amalekite all through their generations. What do Amalekite do? Amalekite will watch you when you are going, and as you are going in group, those who are weak, those who are tired, that lean behind and don't move faster with everybody else, they come and attack them and take them captive. You see, David and his men went to go and fight somewhere. Before they came back, the Amalekites came for their relationships and their resources. We get damaged in life in those two areas. What belongs to us, somebody takes it. Relationships, resources. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it can be very disheartening to one to know that you have a right to this at workplace and they deny you. You know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes you are in a family as inheritance of five brothers and somebody just takes everything and call your bluff. Am I making some sense here? Huh? And we're going to face that in life. They are the Amalekite descendants. Let's keep reading. And are taken captive. Okay, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughter had been taken captive. The things that they treasure, people in their lives. Let's keep reading. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Sometimes it's not wrong at all to cry. There's one song in Baptist Church. I'm going to Baptist Church. You didn't go. If you went, yeah, stop. Yeah. At this church. You know, my tears cannot save me, but you can weep it out. It will be a good relief, but it can't save you. So they had no more power to weep. Next verse. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the widow, there. This is important. Listen to this. A lot of time, pastors who are trying to go to psychology to teach some of these things, so that because they don't want to use spiritual things, because they don't know the power of All that is in the Bible. The psychologist is in the Bible. In fact, the word psyche is the word for soul. We'll talk about the soul of in a minute. Let me remind me of this. I'll come back to it later in a minute. Let's deal with this one first. So they took his two wives. Next verse. Now David was greatly what? Yeah, that was a serious, serious hurt. It was really hurt. For the people spoke of stoning him. Because, see, the soul of all the people, they were about to do crazy things. This was their leader. Did they cause it? But they were going berserk now. They need some lagati, honestly. You know, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David did what? Strengthen himself. Oh, there's nothing like this. Strengthen himself in the Lord is God. But a lot of people do something wrong. They jump this step and go to next step. Look at next verse. And David said to Abiathar, please, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Next verse. And David said, inquire the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered, pursue. See, many people just go to God. What should I do now? It's not what to do now. It's why you should be now. See, first of all, David strengthened himself in the Lord. When I get hurt, when I get damaged, I find a place to go in my bedroom or somewhere and just settle down and receive comfort from God. You must learn to do that. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He welcomed comfort. Even where I am wrong, that I caused the trouble, I will still say, Lord, I'm in your hand. Are you hearing me? That's very important. So when you are getting hurt and damaged, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Now, some damages can be chronic. Let me give an example. You know, if you ever stay by airport, you don't know how much the sand is entering into you. For instance, for me, sand wakes me up. I got a child. You can be booming. She's sleeping. Sometimes I find it difficult to travel to places because whatever I can get over there, the bed or something just make me uncomfortable. Or maybe the sand. One day I was put in a hotel and there was a church next door or mosque. It was a church all through the night. It was Friday night vigil. Another time I was in a hotel where they were having all Saturday night dim. Some people, after staying there for a while, they will snore in the midst of that. Why? You see, they've become used to it. So when you start getting to some chronic issues, you have to get used to it. If your husband just calls you name every day, after a while, it becomes your pet name. Are you hearing me? You just don't let that bother you anymore. You want to get a call? The news will finish very soon. Not out of you are being sarcastic, but you just you know what you do at work now. Sometimes when somebody comes and give you, you know he's coming again. When he finishes, you all settle down. Am I right? You have to learn to do that with people and with yourself. Somebody do that with you too. I'm making some sense. Praise God. Wow, hallelujah. Let's talk about personal failure. It can really cast one down a lot. Personal failure. You know, personal failure. Something happens that you just didn't do it right. Or, you know, you didn't do it enough. What do you do next? Sometimes people can wind up psychiatric personal failure. Let me give you an example. Somebody you're supposed to marry, you didn't marry the person. And then you had this idealistic thing about that person you wanted to marry, but the person didn't marry you. You now marry this. Huh? Or You are supposed to, you have met that particular level of exam, but you didn't meet it. And you just have to settle for something else. Oh, that's difficult. Let me give you something that happened to us today. We, our particular internet that we use, it was low. I hope it's working well. Is our internet working well? Or it's been changed? Is Starlink still working, or you have changed it? It's still working. So we have to take it, we have to take it higher today. We have to take it higher. And we'll be working with it Saturday. We have to go about 50 feet off the ground. How many of you noticed when you enter the compound? Okay. So we take it up, and we've been on it since Saturday. We finally had to hire a vehicle to help us take it up, and cost us 50K. So we were working on the thing, we did the stick. Now we have to put that disc on it to go up. And we have to click that inside so that it will be on the disc, and we tie it. And then we got there, I helped them, and he moved the thing. It was really a lot of stuff, you know. Finally dropped it in there, and I was telling Kerry, check it, see that the internet is working. That so that we won't just, you can't go back up there. It was quite interesting. So, you know, we got it up. And then they were fixing it, put it on the ground. Finally, we got it up. It was difficult to get. No, it was going up and down. We put it. And then I said, Jerry, check it up. It was fixing, running the thing up. And then they fixed it and put sand there. The thing was not working. It said unplugged. And I said, run downstairs, try and stop them. It said, oh no, we already put cement. How are you going to get it down? It's tall thing, you know? Oh boy. I said, okay, let's go back there. We check. He said, offline and unplugged. So, Gary was devastated. You know, I said, I hope you put that thing with tight. We did everything we could do. So we sat down and we were just devastated. So I stopped. I said, okay, you know what we're going to do? Rasulullah, let's find something else we can do. Since we cannot climb up there, let's find people that are working on electricity pole. They use this machine to go up. We are doing all this for you. You better watch us online. We are doing all this. You know, so we got that, you know. So we got that. I said, let's go and find this guy. So the weather said, I know somebody who retired from there. I said, run to their office. So I said, Brasola, find somebody else, the one engineer in church. Now I said, I had trouble of God again. I had to go home. So I got home. I just sat. My wife said, are you going to eat? But I'm sorry, Ujeke. So I sat down there. And just that wire alone, somebody gave us the money. You know how much the wire cost? 110,000. And the stick, this is where I'm making money from us. And the stick that we put, just the stick, in the last one, you see 3K. Plus all the things you have bought, all those things. So go home. Before service, Abby. Don't come to service today, Abby. It's not Tuesday. So I sat down there, and I stopped and I said, okay, all right. What are we going to do now? So I stopped. I said, hey, Jerry, go back to the router. Check the bottom of it. Let's check the wire. He said, I've removed the other one. I check it again. Then he said, everywhere. I was putting the wrong wire. See, we had the new wire. We had the old wire. In the midst of all the struggle, he was putting the old wire there, and we were getting offline. I said, say what? I was sitting down by myself at home in the dining. Then he said, guess what? I want to try it. I told him, I'm going to church. I entered the kitchen, my friend said, yeah, it's starting. We all screamed, ran to church. And then we got our desire, multiples of what we can get. Praise God, somebody. You know, I won't have told you, if not this, the rest you just keep to yourself. But you know what? Everything in life has a remedy in God. Everything, every negative thing has a remedy in God. Every negative thing. Now, it may not be the way you think it is, but as a remedy of everything in God. As a remedy. It may not be that, for instance, the remedy for Joseph, is not that he will go back to Canaan. Are you hearing me? Thinking about going back to Canaan, you came back to Canaan, it's gone. But that's a bigger remedy from God. If you just stay with it, that's where the problem is. Are you hearing me? No matter what we find ourselves as personal failure, we must believe that God will give us something better, higher. He may not be the way we think it is. Am I making some sense? Okay, someone said, what about death? Ruth lost her husband, am I right? Lost her father-in-law, lost her brother-in-law. See, but stepping out of that personal grief and failure, God offered her something more. Am I right? Am I right? Now somebody said, my own is not a failure, but it's a constant deadline ahead of me. Constant, I never reach. Constant deadline, I never reach. Constant deadline. As you attempt to get one, never come on. No, come on, my. No, come on, no, come on, come on, come on, come on, you know, push, you know. You can ask me as a pastor. I got next Sunday. I got next Sunday. You know, as a pastor, you never know what will happen next. Whether it's internet or something. In fact, sometimes, you know, something happened recently. Some guys were coming toward me. I said, okay, what is next? I mean, you just know that you don't know what will happen next. And that kind of life can be very tough. Particularly for women now. It's difficult to go to market. Never know what will happen. I mean, it can be difficult. You know about living. But can I say this to you to handle that? Let's go to Psalm 62 or 63. Let me look for it. This psalm, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Remember that verse? Where's the verse? It's in the book of Psalm 50 something. If you find it, and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, when you're having that kind of constant deadline, you're going to have to get this done. You never know what will happen next. At that moment, hallelujah. You see, this is what I do. I find out from the Word of God that I should not be focusing on the deadline and the struggle and what will happen next. I should focus on my growth and development in God. Did you hear what I just said? That, you see, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I focus on I working out to do all things, I can do all things. It's me that I have to be ready. For instance, when you are running a race, huh? Psalm 61, verse what? Verse 1 and 2. Let's go. Psalm 61, thank you. Yeah. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Next verse. For from the end of the earth, this extreme end, I'll cry to you. When my heart is what? Overwhelmed. Constant deadline, constant moving ahead, at workplace, at home, we're going to push this. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. So the only way to be ready, you know, years ago, my wife, I've seen this coming years ago. Price just, my wife just said, price has gone up, price has gone up, price has gone up. And it could be very difficult. So one day, just dawn on me. Let's go up too. Let's just keep going up. That's the only way to meet life. You just can't stay flat. If everything is changing for higher level, change for higher level. So you'll be able to meet it. Now, know what I'm saying next. What will I change to? You can't know it's in God. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. You can't know that it's in God. But just determine to get into God and determine to grow more. So because your growth will help you to measure up. Hallelujah. Okay. I've got 2 minutes more to do this. They are talking about some things quickly, about faith in some areas. So, overwhelmed. And today, we are getting very overwhelmed, you know, in natural life. But then, let's go to the rock that's higher than I. Now, Pastor, how do I go to the rock? Luke 6:47. Let's round up. How do I go to the rock? Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Rock is stability. How do I go? Can you look up, everybody? Take a look. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom it's like. Look at next verse. It's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation where? On the rock. Who is this man? Look at verse 46 again. Verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. See, so if I'm going to not be overwhelmed, if I'm going to go to that rock, I must come to Christ and listen to Christ and begin to on purpose practice what he says. I don't know how to handle all this, but look here, I have all these problems with my financial life. What am I going to do with this and pay that and do that? So I go to God and he said he's able to make all grace advance toward me, that in all situations I believe that, and he says gifts are given unto you. That's all I can do right now. I practice that. Huh? Oh, something happened. I remember things will happen like that. And I'll be wondering, how will I? Then he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So what do? I force my mind, don't worry. You know, God says so, follow God. And as I do that, I'm building upon the rock. It's not easy building on the rock, but it will last longer than other houses. Am I making some sense? Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about this. This leads us to the next part. Let's talk about faith. Now, let's talk about strong faith, weak faith, no faith. Okay, take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew 8. Let's talk about great faith. You know that if you're going to get anything done, you're going to get the job done. But let's look at these pictures in the Bible before we round up next few minutes. Let's see what we can do with this. I want to show you great faith. So, you see, sometimes when you look at stories and events in the Bible, they will help you to analyze your life in the same way. Put your hands in Matthew 8. Can you give us Hebrews 13, verse 7? Okay. Hebrews 13, verse 7. I love this. Please take a look at this verse. Can you give us in ESV or NIV or something? Uh-huh. Can you look up, everybody? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and do what? So, actually, you can imitate faith. Oh, interesting. That's how you learn how to read. You imitate your teachers. Am I right? You learn to imitate. That's how you just look at, he wrote M, you do something like that. So, he said, you can imitate faith. God allows you to imitate faith. So we are going to look at faith now. Great faith, small faith, we should not imitate that. And then we see no faith. Let's go to our Bible, Matthew 8. Let's see how to imitate tonight some things. Matthew 8, verse 5. We want to look at this surrounding. We'll go as fast as we can go tonight. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. What was he doing? Pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. I want you to see something over here first. We are looking at this story. This story was not in a classroom. This story was in the warp and woof of life. This was a soldier, a servant, was lying at home, paralyzed, and in pain. Now, I know something. There is no cure for paralysis in mercy. There's no cure. Paralyzed, nervous disorder, gone. Second, in bad pain. But he came to Jesus, pleading with him. Let's look at next verse. And Jesus said to him, I will come and do what? And heal him. Let's keep reading. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that I should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Next verse. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Next verse. When Jesus had it, this is why I have interest in this story. This is the reason why. He marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such mega faith. No, not even in Israel." So, what we are confronting here now, if you are going to imitate faith, this is the top of the pack. Amazingly, it's not a religious leader. It's not a pastor. It's not a scribe. It's not a preacher. Amazingly. This is what you call lay member. And he had faith more than the apostolic faith. He said, they've not found such faith, not even in Israel. That means Peter, James, John, all of them combined. Let's keep reading. "And I said to them, many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Next verse. But the sons of the kingdom, the Israelites, will be cast out to outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Now, please listen to this. The outsider gets better with faith than insiders. See that with you one more time. The outsiders get better with faith than insiders. Jesus was saying, "I've not found..." Two people were described as having great faith in the Bible. They were Gentiles. Sometimes I have a problem. Christians know too much to demobilize them from seeing God in their lives. They know too much. Is that a prophecy or a word of knowledge or revelation or illumination or, you know, all this some business? They won't do what they're supposed to do. The move of God, the glory of God, the essence of God. Oh boy, just... No, get this complicated. Next verse. "Then just said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed that same hour." Now, what made this man to have great faith? Let's read back to verse 5. "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him." That's common to everybody. "Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." I will come. That means I'll bring myself physically there and make him well. Am I correct? Now look at next verse. "And centurion answered and said..." Now, we are going to know where he got this mega faith now. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." You know, people who have great faith don't have great pride. People who have great faith are regular guys. Just simple guys. To him, "I'm not worthy. You just come under my roof. I'm just normal." Your physical presence may be a threat to me, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now, Jesus said the man had the mega faith. I believe that the expression of his mega faith is in this word, "but only speak a word." He came to a conclusion. I will show you more about his life in a few minutes. He came to a conclusion that Jesus should only speak and nothing else. He was not capitalizing on the presence of God. You hear that a lot among Christians. If you don't go, the Lord's no presence with you. The man said, "I don't need your physical presence. I just want you to speak only. Your word is it." And he gave reason for that. Look at next verse. What's the reason he gave? "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me." You know, he was not quoting the Bible. Can you imagine? Say with me, faith is reasonable. Now, my wife and I, we were hearing him yesterday. We started laughing. I laughed so much. My wife said, looking at me, he said, what I'm telling you is common sense. But today, common sense is so scarce, it's not a superpower. It's like common sense. It's just common sense. I said to this one, go, and he goes. You will never see a soldier telling his subordinate, I said, go. See me. I said, go. No, just say, go. And you're gone. If you don't go, you're in the guard room. Am I right? It's simple. He said, Jesus, you have authority. Just like I have authority. Just say this, what will happen? Huh? Now, remember, if you have faith as a seed, and let me round up on this. See, you can see the seed. What kind of ground is he? Remember I talk about ground, about faith? See, anybody who looks at this guy, just walk up to Jesus and say, just speak the word only. If you are not careful, you think it's just like that. But it's a seed. Seed grows, am I right? That kind of life grew out of something which this man called Matthew didn't tell us. Luke told us. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Talking about this same man. Let's look at how he came to this kind of conclusion about life. Come and see. Verse 1. Talking the same story, but now expanded. Luke 7, verse 1. This man of great faith, how did he come about it? Luke 7. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered where? Capernaum. Now, look. When he concluded, next verse, verse 2. And a certain centurion servant, please can you look up, who was what? Dear to him, was sick, and the guy was ready to die. I noticed something. Faith won't work well when the issue is not dear to you. See, in the convenience of your room, when you open a book about how to find your way if you are lost in the desert, in the convenience of your room with table water and five alive here, you will not pay attention to directions in the book. But when you are lost in Sahara Desert and your water is finished, every word will be looked at closely and continuously to get out of that wilderness. Faith works better when things are dear to us. When our health is not dear, when our financial life, when we are contented and we stay the way we are. See, it was dear to him. The Bible says it was valuable to him. Let me also say this over here. People will not stretch you of their faith for you if you are not valuable to them. Are you hearing me, somebody here? A man will not believe God for great things in his household if his family is not valuable to him. It's a matter of value. It's what you value, you go after. So this guy was dear to his master. And number two, let me also tell you this. If you are not valuable, if you are not working toward value and being dear, listen to me. When time of need of faith comes, you may be left out. If a car is not serving you well, you will not spend money to buy that spare part. Am I correct? Let's keep reading. Next verse. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him. So he didn't even come himself. Pleading with him to come and heal his servant. So this guy, actually the story from Luke said, he didn't even go to Jesus himself. He went to the elders. Now he's a soldier. But he had come to work with the elders. You know, I read a story by, is it Daniel Goleman now, on emotional intelligence? I think so. I'm not sure whether the particular book, I remember, but something intelligence, I'm not sure. But emotional. He said, during the Iraqi war, American soldiers went to invade a particular place, and they got to this town, people were scared of them. Please listen to this. Soldiers usually come, commit all kinds of atrocities. He said, when they got to the town and the natives started coming out to attack them, and they were coming to attack them because they were screaming. It was their commander. I know what he said. He said, I told everybody, get on your knees. Did you hear what I just said? He said, I told every of my soldiers, get on your knees and put your gun down. He said, when they did that, the whole nation just stopped. And see them no more as an enemy, but as an invading friend. If you look at this man's life, you will see that in a minute. His faith just didn't come bam like that. His faith came out of a life of love. Let's keep reading. Take a look. And when they came to Jesus, the elders, they begged him earnestly. So he told them to go beg, and they were begging earnestly, these elders, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. So there was a reason behind just speak the word only. There was also this fact that this guy was deserving. And why was he deserving? Look at this verse. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. See, Bible says faith works by love. You will never have great faith without real love in your heart. So, great faith is not out of a vacuum. It's out of a life of love. Which soldier will think about his servant and go and beg Jesus? The bloody civilians. Faith, great faith, comes out of great love. Love believes all things. Bible says so, am I right? So, loving. If you want to have faith that is actually very, very powerful, start working the area of your love life. Loving people, loving. And not just loving emotionally, but loving concretely. He built them a synagogue. The elders, he got along. This servant, can you imagine a man leaving everything for his servant to go and beg Jesus? He never went to Christ for his own favors. Something else I noticed. You will never have great faith only asking things for yourself. If all about your life is about yourself, your faith will be minimal. You won't go very far. And the next verse is, and Jesus went along with them. And when he was already not far from the house, please can you look up again? The centurion sent who? Can you see this connecting man? He got elders. He loves the whole nation. And he got friends. Do you know what? Let me say something to you. My wife and I were here yesterday. Somebody said, if you want to be something in life, find out people who are like them and make them your friends. In fact, the guy says, just look at your life. In the next 5-10 years, you will usually be like your friends. If your friends are complainer, fighting everybody, guess what? You'll be a fighter, complaining everywhere. So I told myself, I better be very careful with just choosing people to be around me. But you know what? These friends even also understood faith. Because how could they communicate to Christ? So there was a fellowship of friendship that believed in confidence in the Lord. They said to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worried that you should enter under my roof. Next verse. What did he say? Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. His friends were people of faith that says, yeah, we agree with you. Word is alone. Am I right? How many of you know you have been there? When you are believing God, somebody encourages you, you go further. Once people speak something that won't work, you first of all have to doubt that one for days to clear that out of your head. You want to believe God for something, say, are you sure? Will God hear people like you? So we can see great faith there. Great faith comes out of great life of love. I find something out. If you are selfish, always trying to guess for yourself, your faith will be that wrinkled and disturbed and not strong. you hearing me? He said, there was nobody with that kind of faith in Israel. The faith that takes you by your word. I had a man of God in America. I said he wanted to buy a plane in Canada. And he met this man. And the man said, okay, all right, you want the plane? Shook hands. Yeah, it's yours. Fly to him. And he has not paid anything. He said, simply because just your word is your bond. When that boy was ready to die, soldier said, I will do whatever in my capacity to get to Jesus, to get you well. Just keep on going. Hi. Glory to Jesus. So mega faith has its attendant structures. If this man was just a lone ranger, no elders, no loving any nation, no synagogue building, no friends to encourage, establish, and confirm, you just... Let me close with one woman that had great faith in the Bible. Matthew 15. Let's round up with that. So, great faith is a faith that depends on word. Word. What you say. What God said. Just give me what you said. It's enough for me. Just speak the word. That word, I will not ask for something else. I will just hold on to that. Because God is faithful. Amen? Amen? You can see the contrast in a person who was working in the temple and doing service in the most holy place called Zechariah. And God said, you will have a son. And he said, how do I know? You have a word now. He said, You will not be able to speak again. You never know the power of words. So your mouth will be shut down. Matthew 15. Let's round up. 5 minutes thereabout. We'll continue next week. God willing. Are we there, Matthew 15? Yeah. Take a look. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Let's keep reading. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Let's keep reading. But he answered her not a word. Oh, speak a word. Answer her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Next verse. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Next verse. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. First of all, let's read this story finished before I make my comment. Next verse. So he answered and said to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Next verse. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Next verse. Just answered and said to her, oh woman, see that word again. Mega is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, look at this. We saw a man with great faith. We saw a woman with great faith over here. What's the thing about this woman? Number one, like I said, an outsider. Am I right? A Canaanite. And her daughter was on her mind. Just like the other one too. Somebody else believing God for. And by the way, they were always minors. I never see anybody come to Jesus for somebody who's an adult. Say, go and bring him here. You come yourself. But for their kids. And if you look at this story, she came after Jesus. She was tenacious about it. She was good. See, many of us, we think great faith just like instanta. There was a kind of persistency. See, he didn't even answer a word. He just kept on going. So, great faith is not a faith that just says, I'm not talking about trust God. I didn't see anything. You know, you persist even when all hope is gone. She was not answering her a word. But you know what she did? Let's learn some lesson here from Sister Bola Uchi. You know what she did? She was crying before, then she turned to worship. Give us verse 26 or 25. Give us verse 25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She came worshipping. So worship expands our faith. In fact, Romans 4, 21 says, and Abraham, listen, let's look at it. Let's not lose this verse. We're coming back there. Quickly, my time is up. Let's stop. Look at Romans 4, 21. And being fully convinced, okay, is it verse before this verse, verse 20? Let's see. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but strengthening faith, giving what? There's nothing like glorifying God around your problem. It's mind-blowing. Praise God, somebody. One day I was watching Bishop Oyedepo. He said something happened that was bad. It was really critical. His issue that was really hard and bad. And there was another friend of his there. So he said, "You know, I told my friend, let's dance. Let's glorify God." And I was demonstrating. And, you know, he started dancing on the stage. We started dancing. They will say you have mental health problem. Right? Believe way beyond your mind into the presence of God. Praise God, somebody. Is that all right? And one more thing as I close. My time is up. What about if God told you you won't get an answer to this request you are having? What about if God says to you that, Joe, Faramo, Jesus told them, it's not good to give children's bread to dogs. You're not a children. You're not a child. You're not part of the house. You know what she did? What will you use to convince God that that thing must be yours? So even when he speaks the word and the word does not tally with your desire, which is in his word, what should you do? He said, "Master, the crumbs fall down." Jesus said, "Great is your faith." Am I right? You know what? You can't even convince yourself about the matter. Can you? How will you convince God? Huh? Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes our conviction is only in our mouth. Jesus, I will do my exam this year until you see the amount you are going to pay for the exam. Jesus, nobody let me. you don't have any conviction yourself. You just, you know. Let's lift our hands and thank the Father. Say, "Lord, help me to imitate." He said, consider their life outcome and imitate their faith. Say, "Lord, show me what to imitate in this. Show me which attribute, which character, which tendencies I must manifest in these stories of great man and great woman of faith. Show me and enlighten me. And help me to become a person of great faith. I want to have great faith. I want my faith to be solid, settled, and strong. Thank you for helping me to be all this and more. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray." Now, while we're praying, I just saw this. Interesting. I just saw the connection between what I talked first and what I talk about now. I just saw this. That whatever emotional, mental issue you go through, your faith is adequate enough to help you sort it out. Do you hear what I just said? Your faith is strong enough, adequate enough to help you trash it out. So don't throw away your faith. Just hold on to it to tackle everything, for nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Tonight has been really eventful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We're so grateful that you love us with everlasting love. Thank you. We bring our little to you. But thank you, you know how to make it much. To bless us, to help our loved ones, and to even do some more giving. So we thank you. And even this economy that we are facing, we have heard from you. We are not waiting for you to speak a word. We have heard that you will supply all our need. So we take that and go home with it. We take that and face our future with it. Thank you for being able to give. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whoa. Hallelujah.